Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Breaking news tonight, a bombshell DNA breakthrough in the case of teen girl Sade Robinson. Blood found in suspect Maxwell Anderson's home does not belong to Sade. The mystery blood, a backyard grave already dug, and the discovery of a basement sex dungeon? Are there more victims? Good evening. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us.
As volunteer searchers try to locate all of teen girl Sade Robinson's remains, a fourth set of body parts, this time at a remote tree-lined stretch of beach along South Michigan. Just after 7 a.m., someone walking along a South Milwaukee waterline discovered an arm and torso. The remains washed ashore about a quarter of a mile from a nearby apartment complex. Residents watched as officers carried a body bag down the cliff to recover the body parts. Police have continued their search using a sonar detection boat to scour the lake.
What hell? I mean, pure hell. Are Sade's parents going through this young girl in college now appearing? This is the fourth set of remains, this time a torso. What else is missing? And how can they hope to ever bury their girl when they don't have her entire body? A first date turns to murder. A torso just being discovered. We are convinced it belongs to teen girl Sade. How did the whole thing start? Listen.
Sade Robinson, 19, is excited for her first date with Maxwell Anderson, a local bartender. The pair decide on seafood, and Maxwell takes Robinson to the Twisted Fisherman, a place he used to work. After dinner, the date continues at Duke's on Water, and Anderson invites Robinson back to his home. Around 12:34 a.m., Robinson's car leaves Anderson's home and makes several stops around Milwaukee, spending nearly 2 hours at a pump house in Warnemont Park. The next day, Robinson doesn't show up for work, and a concerned coworker reports her missing. Hours later, a severed human leg is found on the shore of Lake Michigan, down a bluff from Warnemont Park.
Listen to the Milwaukee County Sheriff.
Subsequently, a Milwaukee police officer who was aware of our investigation raised the possibility that the leg may be related to a missing person investigation that they were conducting, and that missing person was Sade Robinson. The severed leg has been preliminarily identified as belonging to Miss Robinson.
Joining me in All-Star Panel, but first, for the very latest, out to Erin Maben, investigative reporter and anchor for Fox 6 in Milwaukee. Erin, thank you for being with us. There's so much happening and so quickly in the Sade Robinson case. But first, I want to go to the torso. We have a torso, a female torso that has washed up, so to speak. We have unidentified blood, Erin Maben, and not just blood, Erin. For instance, if I go to your home and I see a few spots of blood around your bathroom sink, I'll think, oh, he cut his face shaving. This is blood on bedding going up the wall from the basement, and we know that the basement, now uncovered, was a sex dungeon. And blood elsewhere in the home, blood where it shouldn't be in the normal course of one's routine. So with all of this happening, I can't help but wonder, are there more victims? Since that blood does not match Sade, and we have reason to believe it doesn't match the defendant, the suspect. But back to the torso. Tell me everything.
Well, you know, this all began with a severed leg at a park in Cudahy. And it just sparked so much mystery. And that's what this case has been, Nancy, a ton of mystery. Where are these body parts, first off, coming from? And then we later learned that it is Sade Robinson, who's been a missing girl. And then just these series of events continue to pile up. The latest was that arm and torso that washed up on shore. Someone was walking along the beach, Nancy, and they found this arm and torso. Now let's go back to that severed leg, because these places where they were found, really not close to each other. They're a few miles away, about a 10-minute drive from each other. And police were quickly able to identify that this arm and torso were that of Sade Robinson's.
Guys, you're hearing Erin Maben from Fox 6 speaking. So a 10-minute drive between, now we've got four different series of body parts. So you're saying a 10-minute drive from what to what?
From where that first severed leg was found on April 2nd. This is the north side of Milwaukee. And then a few days later is when that arm and torso were found. This is a very wooded area, a beachy area with tons of gravel. And people walk along the shore. It's super pretty. So people definitely were not expecting to find body parts there.
I'm trying to figure something out. When you say rocky, do you mean as in Pacific Coast rocky, or do you mean a cliff? You look down on rocks. Rocky,
more of gravel instead of sand and beach in that area. Think of walking on rocks, not necessarily a cliff. That's going to be more that Cudahy area, that Warnemont Park area where the severed leg was found. That was more cliff-like. This is less cliff-like.
So question, does it appear, Erin Maben, Fox 6 Milwaukee, that her remains washed ashore or they were discarded there?
Well, we know that people found it as they were walking along the beach and it was washed ashore. Milwaukee police and the sheriff's office have not really released, you know, those details on where they were discarded, how they got there. But the current with Lake Michigan is so fascinating. You drop something somewhere and then it can end up miles away too, just by the way that the water moves there.
In addition to Fox 6's Erin Maben, joining me is an expert in exactly that, Keith Cormican, underwater search and recovery expert, director of Bruce's Legacy, searching for Sade in bodies of water. Keith, thank you for taking time out to be with us tonight. Keith, explain your understanding of the discovery of Sade, this last discovery. It's very hard for me to look at her and her photos in life. Now that I feel like I've gotten to know her, a girl making all A's in college, a girl holding down multiple jobs, paying for her own car, her own apartment, really had a plan for her life, just this joyful person. And now I'm talking about the fourth set of body parts discovered. But Keith Cormican, underwater search recovery expert, this part of her body, the torso, is found along a rocky beach area. And I'm trying to determine, do you think it's like Lacey and Connor Peterson, after the husband, Scott Peterson, murdered Lacey, after a period of time, her remains washed up on San Francisco Bay? Or was she dumped, was Sade dumped in this location?
Nancy, I honestly don't think that she was dumped in this location based on the information that I have. I think the probability is that torso was probably dumped in the area where the leg was by that Warnemont Park. Because a torso is the part of our body that will tend to build gas and rise to the surface. And then once it rises to the surface, then it's all dependent on wind and waves, where it's going to go. And it's located about 4 miles south of the park of where the leg was known to be. And that's not out of the question to have that part go in that direction, the way the winds have been lately. So it's my personal belief that I think it's most likely that was put in the area of the Warnemont Park. And it came up during that time.
Wait, that is very vague. Keith Cormican, you're an expert at underwater search and recovery, but let me work on your phraseology just one moment. I'm trying to determine, like the other three sets of body parts, was this torso placed on Earth at that beach? Or was that torso thrown into water? And I have a very specific reason for asking. Water, Earth, which one?
From what I understand, it looked like it washed up on the beach.
Okay, so all I needed to hear, washed up, that means water. And I'm sorry to rush you, I have 1 hour to get through the developments in Sade's case. Why am I in a rush? Because there's a very strong possibility that there are other victims. And you know where I'm going with this, Aaron Maben? If you don't know a horse, look at his track record. Has he put other victims, specifically, who was that grave dug for in his backyard? Whose blood is that on his wall? Who else had been in that sex torture chamber that he had in his basement? So if he put part of Sade in the water, ergo, has he put other victims in the water? See where I'm going with this?
Well, Nancy, I want to go back to what police are sharing because I wanted to stick to what we know. And there's so much that we are still working to get. But we know that right now police are just searching for Sade Robinson in connection to Maxwell Anderson. But we did learn in a preliminary hearing just a few days ago that the blood that was found inside Maxwell Anderson's home, they swabbed bedding, they swabbed a wall in the basement. We know that that blood was not Sade Robinson's DNA. I don't want to go too far talking about, you know, what else it could be, but we do know that it's not Sade Robinson's blood. And that was a development that came in that preliminary hearing too. But police are only telling us right now, Nancy, that they are looking at Maxwell Anderson and Sade Robinson together. They're not putting any other speculation out there, any other rumors out there either.
Can I just do a lightning round with you, Aaron? Just a quickie.
Let's do it.
Isn't it true that civilians are the ones that find the body parts? Yes, no.
Sure, in this case.
And isn't it also true that a civilian found the blanket, the pet tribute blanket that was Sade's, near Sade, some of her remains? Civilians, yes, no.
Yes.
Okay. And isn't it also true, Aaron Maben, that civilians are the ones that are out searching for Sade and any of her remaining body parts? Isn't that true?
That's right.
Okay. My point is, police are saying right now, we're only looking at Sade as a victim. Really? Okay, let's move forward with what we know. We know that the police have the suspect's blood. They've got his DNA, obviously. We know that they have Sade's DNA. So, hence, I would argue that the blood found in the home, since they're not saying it's the defendant's, and they're saying it's not Sade's, is somebody else's. Is that logical to you, Aaron Maben?
Sure, yeah, Nancy.
Okay, going forward from there. Dr. Eric Eason joining me, board-certified forensic pathologist, consultant, on Facebook, Eric August Eason. Dr. Eason, thank you for being with us. Just in a nutshell, and I'll delve back into it before Aaron Maben gets called off to a scene. Dr. Eason, isn't it relatively easy for a medical examiner like yourself, who has performed literally thousands of autopsies, to determine whether or not a torso has been submerged in water?
They're going to be bloated, for sure, because being under the water, the bacteria are going to multiply and release the gas, and that's going to actually bring the torso up to the surface. It's going to look different than if the torso is placed simply on the land. You're going to get some decomposition that's going to occur, but you're not going to have some of the bloating that we were talking about.
In the last hours, multiple updates in the murder case of teen girl Sade Robinson, the first date murder. She thinks she's got a wonderful guy for a date. He's the son of a Milwaukee millionaire in his 30s, in and out of a job as a bartender. First date she's never seen alive again. With me, an all-star panel, including Aaron Maben, Fox 6, out of Milwaukee. But back to you, Dr. Eric Eason. Isn't it true, I'm just talking off the top of my head here, that if a body had been underwater, we would have at least vascular marbling. We would have dark discoloration of the skin and the soft tissues after about a week or so. You would have bloating of the body. Even if it is just a torso, it would be bloated. And wouldn't you have the beginnings of putrefaction? Isn't that true?
Yes, it is definitely true. Also going to factor in temperature, too, though. I mean, I think it's still pretty cold up in Milwaukee right now, so that may slow down some of the decomposition process, but the The bloating is definitely probably going to occur with the body that's under the water, correct?
We are also discovering, Erin Maben, that the torso that was found, the legs were cut off below the hip. Is that correct?
Yeah, that first severed torso right below the hip is where that cutting happened.
You know, I find that unusual, Erin, and I'll tell you why. When I've seen other dismemberments, the dismemberment occurs at the joint. And I'm wondering exactly how this was done. Why? Because it's easier. I don't know if you've ever cooked a chicken before or cut up a chicken to cook a chicken. Maybe you've seen your mom do it. It's not to compare chickens with people, but that is how a dismemberment is more easily done. And that's a typical method of dismemberment. What more do you know about this torso being dismembered just below the hip?
Yeah, so that's where it all began. We just know that prosecutors are saying it actually is kind of close to that joint where that first severed leg was discovered. So I think you're not too far off with where that cutting happened, according to prosecutors, too. Unfortunately, we didn't get other details when the torso and the arm were found. We don't know exactly, according to the sheriff's office, where that cutting happened, Nancy. So still some kind of gray areas there. But where that first severed leg was found, according to the prosecutors in this case, it is close to that joint, unfortunately.
So when you say we don't know where the cutting happened, you mean the dismemberment of the body, not the location where the body was dismembered. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah, which leads me to a whole nother line of questioning, Erin Maben, and that is, if she was dismembered and the blood found in his home isn't his, because they've got access to his DNA, they would tell us if it was his DNA, and it's not hers, the dismemberment didn't happen there, then where did it happen? Speaking of searching the home, listen to this.
Maxwell Anderson had a sex dungeon in the basement of his West Milwaukee home, according to a law enforcement source. Cops found a sex sling, restraints, and handcuffs. A close friend of Anderson said that on a visit to Anderson's home last year, he noticed a large hole in the ground that was about 5 feet long by 6 foot deep. Anderson said he was working on an underground basement, despite having a large basement in the home already. Neighbors say the basement in the home had small windows that were always covered so you could not see inside.
Joining me is high-profile lawyer Eric Faddis, trial lawyer, TV analyst, founding partner Varner Faddis Elite Legal, and to my purposes, a former felony prosecutor. You can't be a felony prosecutor for very long without catching a couple of homicide cases. Eric Faddis, thank you for being with us. It just keeps coming, doesn't it? More and more evidence for the prosecution in this case. And I don't care what anybody's saying, when there is a significant amount of blood in the locations in which it was found, and I'm going to circle back to Erin Maben in just one moment to get those locations, it's not the defendants, it's not the victim, Sade. I mean, a sex dungeon, a backyard grave already dug. Eric Faddis, there's got to be more victims. And the fact that we now know he disposed of portions of Sade's body in the water, there is no telling what other crimes he may have committed.
Yeah, Nancy, as you said, you know, with each week, it seems like there is a new horrifying revelation in this case. And so now we're hearing about the blood that does not belong to Sade Robinson. Whose blood is that? If it's not Maxwell Anderson, it's not Sade Robinson, it's another person's. It's likely another victim's. And so I'll be interested to hear what police and the government find in searching some of these bodies of water, because that is where Maxwell Anderson allegedly has dumped the remains of his victims, and what other remains are we going to see? That's kind of what I'm looking for.
Volunteers are still looking for parts of Sade's body. Behind bars right now, the son of a multimillionaire Milwaukee businessman who was a part-time bartender at the time. Has he had any meaningful interrogations with police? Where is the rest of Sade's body? And in light of a backyard grave already dug, mystery blood throughout his home, a sex dungeon found in the basement, it leaves one to speculate, are there more victims?
Wusstest du, dass zehntausende deutsche Unternehmen bereits Shopify nutzen? Von innovativen Startups bis hin zu Familienunternehmen mit langer Tradition? Die Commerce-Plattform Shopify revolutioniert Millionen von Unternehmen weltweit. Mit Shopify kannst du Produkte über beliebige Kanäle verkaufen. Ob persönliches POS-System oder umfassende E-Commerce-Plattform. Auch Social Media und Marktplätze wie Facebook, Instagram und eBay werden unterstützt. Dank der ständig wachsenden Auswahl innovativer Funktionen und des zuverlässigen technischen Supports ist es ganz einfach, dein Business mit Shopify aufzubauen. Ob Produktpräsentation oder Bestell- und Zahlungsabwicklung. Shopify bietet alles, was du für die Verwaltung deines Business brauchst. So kannst du dich ganz auf dein Business konzentrieren. Shopify kostenlos ausprobieren und dein Business voranbringen. Shopify.de/try besuchen. Also Shopify.de/try. Made for Germany. Powered by Shopify.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
With me, an all-star panel, but now to special guest Dr. Jory Crossan, psychologist, former law enforcement faculty, St. Leo University. Dr. Jory, thank you for being with us. Explain a sex sling, restraints, handcuffs, and this was all kept secret. The windows, according to an acquaintance of the suspect, were darkened, were boarded over, were covered, so no one could look out or in. This was kept away and, for lack of a better word, a basement lair. Explain.
Yeah, that would be a behavioral probe of information for anybody that could really properly understand it. First off, with the sex offenders, they want isolation, they want privacy, that gives them time. Also, the biggest thing, and when looking at behavior, is that they're going to build a fantasy from it. That's how they're going to remember this. So what they do and what they can use to trigger that fantasy is going to be very important, evidentiary. That's why a lot of them will take what police identify as trophies, like an identification card, driver's license, some clothing, some personal items, so they can relive that fantasy that they've created. Now, the restraints that they're using or that they can use in these, like what's found here, that comes down to that power and control. One of the things that I look at as a behaviorist would be where the site of the dismemberment would be. If it's not in the house, then it's going to be somewhere else. And again, that is not so much as a sexual behavior, but it's an after-the-fact behavior that now they've got to deal with getting rid of this evidence. That would also lead me to believe that this is not his first homicide. There seems to be a pattern there. The blood at the site, it may prove to be of other victims that were possibly injured or dismembered there at the house.
Dr. Jory Crossan, you mentioned power and control, and having dealt and investigated several dismemberment cases, the ultimate power and control over your victim is not only killing them, but a step beyond that, and dismembering their body, putting their body in various locations, hiding them. It's just another assault on your victim and the memory of the victim.
That's true. The dismemberment in this, I look at as evidentiary, because he's got to get rid of it. Some killers like Ted Bundy, he put his bodies, you know, intact someplace where he could come back, you know, like the necrophilia, and visit with the body in its entirety. This behavior is different, where, like I say, it becomes getting rid of the evidence. He's still going to have things there to fantasize and recall the event, but this now becomes, you know, removing the evidence and any connection to it.
Joining us right now, CrimeOnline.com investigative reporter Sydney Sumner. Sydney, thank you for being with us. I noticed in the amended affidavit, police, the probable cause affidavit, police very carefully amended the prior information to state that blood found in the suspect's home is not a match to Sade Robinson, the teen girl whose body parts are still being discovered by volunteers. we know police have the suspect's DNA. That's a very quick test to get a DNA, like a field test done at times of war. What can you tell me about the location of the blood found in the suspect's home, Sydney?
Absolutely, Nancy. That blood was found on a comforter. We're not sure exactly where that bedding was found, maybe Anderson's bedroom. And there was also blood on a wall of a stairwell leading to Anderson's basement. And neither of those patches are matches to Sade Robinson. Unclear who they belong to. Maybe we're talking about another victim.
Eric Faddis joining me, high-profile lawyer and legal analyst. We know that, for instance, a DNA sample like a field test, you can get a yes-no answer in 5 to 10 minutes, as was done from years and years and years at times of war when you have to identify remains. If you want more information, it can take hours. If you want information, a DNA result that you want to take to a jury, then that can take weeks. That said, Eric Faddis, if they have the defendant's blood, then they should know and be able to isolate the blood found in his home and tell us whether it's his blood or the victim's blood. I'm very concerned that there are more victims. And now we have a sex dungeon rearing its ugly head in his basement?
Yeah, you know, Nancy, I think the community shares your concern about possible extra victims. And when we look at this blood sample, they have the defendant's blood. And so it would be relatively easy to get at least a preliminary determination as to whether the blood in his house matched him. And if it did, they should tell the public that so the public isn't worried about these potential other victims. They haven't done that. And so I must infer from that the police department is at least has a concern that there are other victims of this defendant, and hopefully they're actively looking into that.
Guys, over the weekend, it was Sade's mom, Sheena Scarborough's birthday, and she says, and I quote, "That's all I want for my birthday." Sade's mom pleading for help finding the rest of her daughter's remains. Can you imagine that? That's what you want for your birthday? The rest of your daughter's body parts? This as a suspect sitting in jail with three hots in a cot, refusing to tell police all the places he allegedly scattered Sade's remains, a first date murder and dismemberment. And she had been so excited for this first date. A group of about 20 people in the last 48 hours were in the Milwaukee River with wetsuits and boats as they continue the search for Sade Robinson. And joining me right now, Keith Cormican, underwater search and rescue recovery expert, searching for Sade in bodies of water. Keith Cormican, tell me about the search of the Milwaukee River.
I am familiar with the river, but I know it's a very shallow, very rocky river, so it's going to be very difficult to search and be best off by diving.
20 people out on Saturday with wetsuits and boats. Why do you say it is or is not too shallow for diving?
It would be the best case scenario is to put divers in to search that area.
Mr. Cormican, tell me about your search for Sade.
Sure. So I searched along the shoreline of the park that the leg was found. We searched a shallow area out to about 10 feet, 150 feet off of shore. This area is found to be very rocky, from anywhere from 6 to 2 foot round boulders lined along the shoreline and off the shore. So that's the area that we had been there and searched. Visibility is about two feet of visibility is what we had with the remote operated vehicle.
Does your vehicle have side scan sonar?
My ROV has forward facing sonar, so it shines forward. So it's a very high end sonar, yes. But in a rocky area like this, sonar is not going to work.
No, because you can't distinguish between rocks and body parts. It's not look. Yes. At this juncture, we're not looking for a body, which would show up even in a rocky area, because you can make out the outline of it. But if you're looking for body parts with a rocky bottom, you won't be able to tell what you're seeing. Guys, with me is an underwater search and recovery expert, Keith Cormican. Also with me, Sydney Sumner, CrimeOnline.com investigative reporter. Sydney, what can you tell me about gas cans being found in the suspect's home? And I want to just ask one more time about the blood, the location of the blood.
Nancy, they found those gas cans and the blood stains on that search warrant from April 4th. Gas cans were found in the garage, and that just further corroborates that Anderson is responsible for that car fire. We remember he was seen entering a bus just after the fire started, carrying a tan backpack matching multiple witness descriptions. And that blood, again, was found on bedding, on a comforter, and on the wall of a stairwell leading down to the basement where that sex dungeon apparently is.
Wusstest du, dass Zehntausende deutsche Unternehmen bereits Shopify nutzen? Von innovativen Startups bis hin zu Familienunternehmen mit langer Tradition? Die Commerce-Plattform Shopify revolutioniert Millionen von Unternehmen weltweit. Mit Shopify kannst du Produkte über beliebige Kanäle verkaufen. Ob persönliches POS-System oder umfassende E-Commerce-Plattform. Auch Social Media und Marktplätze wie Facebook, Instagram und eBay werden unterstützt. Dank der ständig wachsenden Auswahl innovativer Funktionen und des zuverlässigen technischen Supports ist es ganz einfach, dein Business mit Shopify aufzubauen. Ob Produktpräsentation oder Bestell- und Zahlungsabwicklung. Shopify bietet alles, was du für die Verwaltung deines Business brauchst. So kannst du dich ganz auf dein Business konzentrieren. Shopify kostenlos ausprobieren und dein Business voranbringen. Shopify.de/try besuchen. Also Shopify.de/try. Made for Germany. Powered by Shopify.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
I guess I need a shrink on this one, Attorney Eric Faddis, but who digs a grave in the backyard and doesn't use it? What is that, saving it for later? What's that?
Exactly. I mean, you don't need a PhD to find out kind of what a person's intention was. It's a 5 feet by 6 feet grave. It's a human body size. Okay. Everyone knows that. And so, what was this guy planning? That this took place, in my understanding, months before the Sade and Robinson incident. And so, what did he have in his mind? What were his plans for Sade as well as potentially others?
Nancy, can I chime in?
Yes, jump.
That grave, to me, as a behaviorist, he's looking for the perfect victim to fit in that grave, okay? He's doing a lot of prowling from what I've been reading about. The internet, he's working at the bar. He's looking for the perfect victim to fit in that grave.
And you think a bartender is just making you a drink, and the whole time he's looking at you, looking at your driver's license that you hand to prove DOB. Think about it. His dad, a Milwaukee millionaire, offers him a job, gives him nepotism, a job in his insurance brokerage firm. As I recall, that's what it was, Sydney Sumner. But he can't hold the job. He can't hold it. And at 33, he's a part-time bartender when he can hold down a job, scoping out and hunting like a hunter, like Dr. Jory Crossan said. And let me remind everybody, he's innocent for now, until the state proves him guilty. But what, Faddis, you said that the, and I'm not saying you're right or wrong, but let's just pretend that you're right, that the grave was dug in the backyard well before he had a date, his first date murder, with Sade Robinson, the teen girl college student. What was it for? What? Who was it for? And if it was for any other purpose, why wasn't it used and covered up? Did nobody notice there's a grave in the backyard? I got a neighbor that can tell you everything that happens in my backyard. nobody noticed a grave back there?
Yeah, no, totally fair questions. And it sounds like at least one of the friends or acquaintances of Maxwell Anderson was aware of this grave in the back. And the explanation that the suspect Maxwell Anderson gave doesn't make any sense, that he was building another underground basement when he already had like a full underground basement in his primary residence. Makes no sense. And so, anybody with a mind is going to look at this and start thinking, what other uses was he trying to put this to? What other people was he eyeing down for purposes of this backyard grave?
Back to Sydney Sumner. Speaking of cell phone pings, we saw what digital footprints can do in a trial such as the Alex Murdaugh trial and the double murder trial for the slave, his wife and son, or what we see it doing in the Brian Koberger quadruple slay out in Idaho. Tell me about the digital data in this case, Sydney.
Nancy, in this case, the cell phone data starts with Robinson's text messages with Maxwell Anderson before their date Monday evening. So they texted around 5 p.m. to decide where to eat that night, and they arrived at Twisted Fisherman around 6:30. They arrived at 5 p.m. and they left around 6:30. This all indicated by Robinson's cell phone. From the Twisted Fisherman, the couple traveled to Duke's on Water, and this was also evidenced by Robinson's cell phone. They stayed there until about 9 p.m., and Robinson sent a Snapchat to her friend from Duke's that she turned that in when she reported Robinson missing the next morning. From Duke's, they traveled to Anderson's home, and her phone was there until about 12:45 a.m. It pings near Pleasant Valley Park, then pings at Warnemont Park, where its phone battery dies at 4:35 a.m. That was her last known location. Robinson's family also had Life 360 groups. They were also able to track her using that app, aside from her pings, and they have been out searching those areas, evidenced by that Milwaukee River search over the weekend.
Is it true, Eric, that he waived his preliminary hearing? And what does that mean to you legally?
That's my understanding. And it's a bit of a head scratcher on that one, because usually a defendant will waive their preliminary hearing in exchange for some either plea offer or some promise of future negotiations. Because if there's no plea offer on the table and the defense going to trial anyway, usually they say, hey, prosecution, you got to prove the probable cause at the preliminary hearing. You're not giving me anything to waive in exchange for this. So you'll prove it. The fact that he waived it is a bit of a head scratcher. I don't know any communications that have taken place between the prosecution and defense regarding a plea.
Eric Faddis, there may have been other reasons that the lawyers waived a preliminary hearing. They may not have wanted him back in court for more pictures, for more publicity, because he looks like a killer in court. He looks spoil, like, no, I don't want to say that, because the impression he's giving in court is not a good one. You know, the state has enough PC probable cause to move forward. So why put it on parade in open court?
Yeah, Nancy, that's a solid point. You know, the community is already beginning to have an impression of this defendant, and perhaps defense did not want to further worsen that impression that everyone already has of their client by going to a probable cause hearing and airing out all of these egregious, horrendous alleged facts against Maxwell Anderson here. So perhaps that was the strategy in waiving the preliminary hearing.
As this case inches toward trial, we stop to remember an American hero, Sergeant Alec Langan. Just 23 years old, Alec Langan dies in a helicopter crash with four other Marines, February 6, 2024. Awarded the Navy and Marine Corps Achievement Medal, National Defense Service Medal, and two Sea Service Deployment Ribbons, he leaves behind grieving wife, Casey, and parents, Karen and Stephen. American hero, Sergeant Alec Langan. I want to thank all of our guests for being with us tonight, but especially to you for being with us tonight and every night. Nancy Grace signing off. Good night, friend.